Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I feel good at the moment.
You look great.
I feel great.
You enjoy lunch?
It's lovely.
Yeah,
exactly. Chicken and rice. Brings
it
me back.
Was free?
Brings me back. It wasn't free. You paid for it.
Yeah, free for you.
Well, it's not free though, is it?
For you.
There's no such thing as a free lunch.
Are you ready?
Bang on.
What were you going to say? You went...
Every time. I'm ready all the time.
Let's do this thing. Hello! And welcome. See, now it's a thing, isn't it? Now my hello is a thing.
It's a stupid thing. Just say hello. Hey, how you doing, everyone?
So, episode 5.
Yeah.
Which means this and then one more.
Yeah.
And then who knows if we're coming back for season 3.
Well, that's what I'm saying, you know. You don't want to be getting on people's nerves after a while. Oh, God, it's just popped in. I listen to it. So just, you know.
Enough's enough. Do you know what I mean? Hopefully two decent albums.
Yeah. You know, it's very difficult. The second album's always a difficult one.
Look, the Office.
The third album.
No. Yeah. The Office was only two series.
The difficult third album.
Yeah, maybe we'll stop at two. Unless someone's got copious amounts of money and they go, do you know what, you two would work really well. What?
Oh, what was you going to say?
Two would work really well together if I give you lots of money.
No, I do this purely. This podcast here.
Yeah.
We're doing this. We're not doing this.
I know, we get no money for it. I know that.
I love doing this.
But wouldn't it be nice if someone commended us and rewarded us for our hard work?
No, I'm doing okay in other stuff.
$5 million a show?
No, it wouldn't happen, so it's pointless thinking about that.
$50,000 a show?
Yeah, but that wouldn't happen either. So
$5,000 a show?
No.
That could happen.
Well, that probably could happen, but like then they want something and it's, what do they, then they start putting restrictions on you and then you
true.
Can't. See, I mean, you're just,
no,
I'm you
not know, doing it.
Doing
I'm
it
not
for,
doing it.
Doing
fuck
it for
it.
Love, man.
Fuck $5,000. Say it with me. Say it proud. Fuck $5,000.
No, you say it and I'll just jump on the bandwagon.
We've got a special guest in this one.
Yeah.
On the phone. It's not G-Force.
No, I'm looking forward to it. It's an interesting one, simply because, you know what I mean? When this started, I was very sceptical about it, what we're doing and why he's coming on to answer the questions. But
do you want to tell him who it is?
No, we're just waiting until it comes.
Here's a question for you.
Uh-huh.
When you and I speak on the phone, right, and we do that quite a lot, we both end the call by saying, I love you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I've got a mate who, Paul... And I told him, I'd do it to him. So take it easy, all right, mate. I love you, mate. See you later. And he always goes, okay, bye. Now, and I pulled him up about it. I said, how comes when I say I love you, you can't deal with that?
Yeah.
He says, he can't deal with it. He's just really strange. He'll just go, yep, yeah, okay, see ya, bye.
How long you known him?
5-6 years.
Oh, a long time.
Yeah.
Do you do it on purpose then?
I always say, I love you, mate. See you later, bye. When I pulled him up about it for a little bit, he's saying, yep, love you too, mate. But then he slipped back into feeling really awkward.
See, you're the only person I say I love you to on the phone, apart from like my wife.
When you send texts to your mates,
yeah,
you
put a kiss on them. Yeah. Do you?
Yeah, I put a heart on it.
Oh, okay, I've not done the heart scenario. But sometimes when I get off the phone to you, you go, love you. And I go, I love you too. Speak to you later, son.
Yeah.
I do get off and go, I love you too.
What, you're just saying it? Just
well, no, because we do just... these questions, don't we? These 36 questions at the end to make us love each other more. Maybe we already love each other.
I've got a lot of love to give. That's the thing.
All right.
But whether or not our questions make me love you more is time will tell, won't it?
We've got that later in the show,
mm-hmm.
including a special guest. All right? Don't sit on the arm of that chair.
It's just ridiculous.
Get off the arm. Why? You'll break the arm.
You'll break the arm.
I've never
seen an arm break. Yeah, but when we were younger, I've never seen an arm of a couch break.
Ever.
But when we were young.
Oh, it's come off. I told you not to sit on it. Never, ever has that happened in the history of...
Get off the arm of that chair. But what's it? You know what it is? Is that when we were younger, everybody had those couches. And what had the arms was connected to it. That's why they said, you know, that bit there was the arm. It was just like the surface.
I just think it's parents, and I've been guilty of it, just saying no to their kids for no reason other than they can.
Get off the arm of that chair. I love it. Get off the arm of that chair.
And I say it to my kids now. Get off the arm of the chair.
But now they actually the chairs are designed for you. You can sit on the arm now.
You could sit on it back in the day.
You couldn't because some of the chairs were, you sat on the arm, it could come away easily. Could come away
of a couch chair. You're not
when we was younger, you go to people's houses, you weren't even allowed in their living room. I remember you going to people's living rooms. They'd have plastic on their sofas.
Yeah, I remember that. Plastic. Utterly pointless.
And they'd have a video with crochet on the top of it, you know? Crochets on the top of their video.
So
they'll have a video in their house, but they're not using it. They've got it as an ornament.
There'll be people listening to this don't even know what a video is.
No, I don't know what a video is. Of course they will.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
18-year-old knows what a video is.
Yeah, he will know what a video is.
Yeah, I suppose so. Do you reckon anyone in the country uses a video?
No.
How do they record stuff then?
What do you mean?
Well, there'll be... Let's say there's a...
record something on the television?
There's a 65-year-old man, right?
Yeah. Has he got Sky? If he's got Sky, bam, press a record.
He hasn't got Sky.
Well, he's not going to get to record anything.
Well, he wants to record BBC Two.
Well, how's he going to do it?
Well, he's got a video.
Well, how's he going to do it?
Press record play. On his JVC video star.
Will it be able to... The component to put into the television, will that
still work? He's not changed his telly for 25 years.
Well, he could do the video then.
So he can. So there are.
So people. It's not like he's up to speed. He's an. How old did you say he is?
Oh, he's older now. He's 75.
Right, 75, and he's got brand new gear. Like he's got Sky and everything now.
No, he hasn't.
Well, if he hasn't and he's got that stuff, where's he get it fixed? Where's he get it from?
His son's an electrician.
Hello, Brian. Could you come around and fix the video again?
Oh fucking hell, Dad. Get Sky.
I don't know what that is.
It's not. It's no.
I've got. Hold on.
I'm not going down. I'm not having that one.
I'll be Brian. Right.
Nah. You can be who you want.
I've got all my old videos. I don't want to lose them. I've got your mother's wedding.
Yeah. It's easy. You could just go and put them. You can only put them on a disc.
I don't want to. I don't have disc player.
No. I don't know what to say about that.
Well, Brian, help your dad out.
He's got. Yeah. Say, Dad.
No, you're the son here. You're the son.
Get with it. Get with the 20.
I haven't got any money.
22nd century.
I haven't got any money.
Yeah. You don't need. Yeah, but the thing about it, you could get television. You can get.
I've got a telly.
You can get. What's it? A disc player.
I don't want a disc player. I'm happy with this.
You can get a DVD.
I'm happy with my video star.
Well, then fucking do what you want.
Oh, don't swear at me, Brian. You know I'm old.
Graham Taylor, what's all that about?
Well, it's England. At the time, me playing for Arsenal and doing what I was doing for Arsenal and playing well and not getting that kind of England game recognition was something for a long time that I put the blame on him rather than realising that, you know, there was opportunities for me. When you come on as a striker for England or you make your debut for England, you need to score. I'd say in the first, ideally in the first game, but at least in the first.
As a striker,
yeah. A striker, yeah. And so I didn't do that. I didn't. I actually missed a lot of chances. And I remember in particular, against Russia, I played, I didn't do well. And against Norway, I missed a couple of really good chances at Wembley. And as time went by, you know, I was still scoring goals for Arsenal. And, you know, Shearer was coming through. Lineker was finishing. Shearer was coming through, and then you could see what's going on. So Robbie Fowler was there. Everybody was in. So you need to take that chance. And when we talked and we spoke about it, and I explained to him, I forgave you ages ago. I blamed you because it's easier to blame you than blame the fact that I didn't take my opportunity.
Who were you blaming?
Graham Taylor.
What were you blaming him for?
Not giving me more opportunities to score.
What? Not playing you enough?
Yeah. At the start. I won the Golden Boot in 1992 when I first went to Arsenal from Pat. And we had the Euro 92 in Sweden.
Right.
Graham Taylor called me in the office and said, I'm not taking you. We're going to take Shearer. We've still got Gary Lineker, and I'm going to take Alan Smith. Unfortunately, this time you're going to miss out. And I went, are you fucking serious? I said, everything I've been told is to get into England, to play at the top level, is to be at a big club and score goals. I said, what more could I do? You're telling me, and to be fair, I think at the time Alan scored goals, but he wasn't scoring nowhere near the rate he was scoring by the time he got to Blackburn, because I think he was still at Southampton when he got into the team and scored on his debut against France. He says, "I'm gonna go with the youngster. I'm gonna go with Shearer, and you know we've got Lineker with his experience, and we're gonna bring Alan Smith as that option, as that other number nine. And I think you're very similar to Lineker, and obviously I'm gonna bring Lineker. We knew what happened with Lineker in the end. With that, he took him off, and that kind of ended his career there. And then you know, obviously I'm gonna bring Shearer." And I went, "It's a fucking joke." Not about them, but about them, because all of them, you know, for me.
How many goals you score that season?
34. So.
Wow. Sorry? Can you imagine that now? An England manager leaving.
Golden boot, won the golden boot. But like I say, it wasn't anything to do with, you know, the problem I didn't at any stage think I weren't going during the season, because I was flying. Absolutely flying. So I didn't even think, even when he called me and I had to go up to see him, I didn't even realise that you only get called really if they've got to tell you something, you're not going. That's why I shit myself when Glenn Hoddle called me in 98.
Because you thought the same thing would happen again.
Yeah.
What was he like, Taylor, with other players? How did he manage, like Gazza, for instance?
Well, to be honest, he was always tiptoeing around Gazza. He was, you know, smiley, laughy, jokey. But I remember when in 94, just before the World Cup, what we didn't qualify for. And I don't know what happened with Gazza, but Gazza didn't get on that trip when we went to America. It was when we lost to America in Boston.
I remember that.
And it was a nightmare. You know, I played in that one as well. It was a nightmare. I got stick in that one as well. But Teddy Sheringham was there. Didn't even get on the pitch. Didn't even get on it. And I remember we went, before we left to go to America, that squad, he had this massive meeting because we went out the night before and everybody was in the papers taking photographs and everything. And you know, when we landed in America, obviously all the press and everything was going crazy over there, and all the press, remember, they come over with us. And he called this meeting, and in this meeting, what he slaughtered Gazza about Gazza and how he, as a professional, how he's, you know, what person eats the food, what he eats, goes to the toilet, vomits it up, and goes into a sauna for 3-4 hours and thinking that's the way.
What, he did this in front of everyone else?
Yeah, we were in the room, yeah. Remember that documentary they done on him?
Do I not like that?
Yeah. But like, you know what, you look back now and you can see him unravelling. He was. The pressure got to him and he's unravelling, and, you know, the turnip and all that stuff. It was terrible the way they totally ridicule you when it comes to the end, the press and what they say. You know, you saw with Steve McLaren with the Wally with the Broly stuff, and then you saw with him turnip. You know what I mean? It was horrible how it ended up for him. But for me personally, you know, there was people when he was in the squad, he was fine. He never spoke to me when we were. This is why I had a problem with him. When I was in and around the squad with him, he never hardly even spoke to me. And I think that came from a time I went to a trip with England when I was at Palace to Australasia. And we went to Australia, Malaysia and New Zealand. And it was like Gary Lineker's kind of tour, because he was just before he went to Grampus 8 in Japan. And what I was is that I was on the bench all the time, because I was like his understudy almost. But it was brilliant for me, because just watching Lineker and watch his movement and everything was brilliant for me. So, and spending time with him. And I remember standing up one time on the bench. He was playing against Malaysia. He scored 4 in the game, Gary Lineker. And I was standing up, and I remember Paul Parker, who was just fucking busy some of the times, you know what I mean? And he shouted out for me. So I'm on the bench down here, standing up, looking at the game, and he's down there. And he went, "What are you standing up for? Sit down, you ain't a coach." And I went, "Fuck off. Fuck off, I ain't used to sitting on a fucking bench." And then Graham Taylor and Laurie McMenemy both looked down the end. You know when two heads pop out and go like that? They'd done that. I never played for England for 18 months.
No.
Drop me. The next time I got back into the squad was when I signed for Arsenal. I got back into the England squad.
And do you think it was because of that?
Well, what else was it? They heard me say something like that and they weren't having it.
Wow.
And so, you know, so all the time I was harbouring, up until me and Graham Taylor had a really man-to-man chat, and he told me about how pleased he was with the way it's gone for me, how I came through and how unlucky I was. And he could totally understand how you'd feel like that. And he was really pleased in the end, because he says, I always knew you was a decent man. I always knew that you would come to the realisation that the chance has to be taken. And when I actually told him, you could see his face was beaming. It's almost like, yeah, you get it. You realise now. Mm. It's got nothing to do with me. It's you. And he was right. But leading up to that, when you're like that, Andy, fucking pounding, trying to achieve, oh, I want to be the best, I want to score goals for England, I want to be the best. You don't think of that. You just think of someone's just fucking, he's stopping me. But as time's gone by, I realise he didn't stop me. He actually is the one who gave me the opportunity. And in the conversation, I thanked him. I did thank him, because I said, you made me the person I am in respect of realising. You know what I mean? It's very easy to point your finger at someone else. And you know what I mean? I was so pleased, because when he died, I was gutted. And I was elated that I got to speak to him, because I'd hate to know now that Graham Taylor would have died and I didn't get the chance to have that chat with him. And it's really weird when people say how the Lord works in mysterious ways, because it was just fantastic that I got to speak to him like that, because I wouldn't have forgiven myself.
Right, time for Lineker update.
Okay.
Now, on the last podcast,
I got
3-year ban.
3.3 months, I think it was, because it was 3.5
fucking
years.
Fucking hell.
And then, yeah, let me read it back. Let
no, I'd rather you didn't.
You don't? Okay.
Okay, cool.
I think it was something to do with 3.5 years, which I'm taking as 3 years and 6 months. And I think he mentioned something like it goes down to, it can, because you're my friend and he likes me so much, that he will consider reducing the ban to 3.3 months.
I've got 2 months off for good behaviour, yeah?
Yeah.
Jesus. I reckon he's enjoying it now. I reckon he won't unblock. He's probably thinking, I should unblock because I'm a nice enough fella, but I won't because Wright is getting entertained out of it.
Do you want to hear? I don't know, do I?
Well, look at your fucking smile. See, this start in series one, this was quite interesting. But now it's just a way of you getting off on it. What happens if I bump into Lineker in the street?
I'm sure it blanked you.
Why? Why would he blank me?
Because he's blocked you. He doesn't want to speak. What's he going to see you on the street and just say, hey, Candy, how you doing?
Well,
he's
if I'm with you, I'm walking down the street with you, like we were today, and, oh, look, why is there big flapping ears in there? Oh, it's Lineker.
What did you say?
Huh?
See, exactly what I'm saying. You can't help yourself. But the fact is, it'd probably still blank you. It's what I said.
Oh, I'm standing next to you. All right, righty. All right, Lynx. Mm. And I'm right next to you.
That'd be awkward, because I wouldn't know where to. Why would I introduce him to the guy he's blocked?
But I've taken him out for lunch.
When?
You know, years ago, before he blocked me.
Have you?
Yeah, I paid for it as well.
Yeah, but
fucking, he doesn't say that on Match of the Day.
Yeah, but so why?
I don't know.
The irritation. You've got to tell people how it started.
We did it in series one.
Yeah, but now we might be getting new people. People might be hearing it for the first time now.
Listen to series one. Come on then, what have you put?
So I sent him a message about the last one. I said, anyway, thanks for the last one, G-Force. I just want to ask
G-Force.
You.
G-Force.
Sorry.
Oh, thanks, G-Force. G-Force. See that 9? Did you send this one to him in the playground?
Do you want to hear it or not?
I don't know,
okay.
Do I?
Yes, you do. Okay, so thanks, G-Force.
Hold on. Do me a favour. When you read it, do not laugh.
Okay, I won't. I won't laugh.
You promise?
Yep.
Okay,
thanks, G-Force. Would you unblock him for a trial period? And this is the last text. This is the last I'll ask you. Because I'm not asking after this, Andy.
We've got one more episode.
I'm not asking anymore. You know what? This is it.
Fine.
You know, we started it off by you saying, do not laugh at the answer, right? So, do you want to hear the answer?
The answer is...
Don't laugh.
I won't laugh. I'm afraid I can't relax my rules. Unblocking denied.
You're a cruel man, Righty. Look, why are you getting so much pleasure out of this? Right, he can go fuck himself. That's it. I'm going to take the series link and Match of the Day off my Sky Planet. I'm telling you.
You won't do that, though.
I'll only watch Match of the Day 2. It's a better programme all round anyway.
You won't do that. Oh, God.
So that's it. It's done.
So that's that. He said, no, can't relax my...
Why are you fucking
relax my rule.
Right, so that's it. We're done now with it, yeah? So episode 6, no Lindicott, nothing. Because I can't... It's bullying.
It's not bullying.
It is, because you just...
He's not bullied you. He's not said, right, let me... He's not blocked you and said, right, now I'm going to find a podcast to go on to slaughter him on a weekly basis. You're the one who's like, Gary.
Right, so we're done, yeah? Episode 5, we're done with it. The fact you used to piss on the legs of fellow players in the shower.
That's one of my funniest things. Because, you know, it was just a play on. You know when people do that one with the shampoo where, you know, when you're washing your hair like that and then they... Just keep putting the shampoo in. So you're just washing your hair for ages. And because you've got your eyes closed, you can't see them putting more shampoo in. So you're rubbing your hair and that, and you're thinking, you know what I mean? Every time. And then
it's a great gag.
It's an unbelievable gag. So I just put a spin on it and just...
That's not a spin. You put piss on it.
It's a spin.
You're pissing on someone's leg, man.
How are you going to feel it? It's a warm shower.
Have you pissed on the best of them?
Well, to be honest, probably everybody got a hot leg off of me. Oh, you know the thing about it is...
Have you pissed on Dennis Bergkamp?
Probably, yeah.
Have you pissed on Ray Parler?
Yeah, probably, in the shower,
Have you pissed on Anders Limper?
Most of the guys that would have been in and around there would have got a little bit of wee-wee on their leg.
Do you think you've been pissed on?
I don't care. Because I don't know, just like they didn't know. Because the good thing about it...
Pissed on Dennis Bergkamp,
The good thing about it is that they don't know, because it's just like they're showering. And you do it when they're washing their hair or something. It's brilliant. Just pee on their leg.
Yeah, but presumably when you're, say, for argument's sake, pissing on Lee Dixon's leg, Dennis Bergkamp will go, oh, right.
Everybody can see.
Bergkamp not go, hold on a minute.
No.
If he's done it on him.
No.
If he's done it on Dicko and Simo.
No, but what's good about being in the shower is that everybody, no matter what you're doing, you shower like that.
You're looking.
You're waiting to see if someone's putting shampoo in your hair or someone's peeing on your leg. We weren't the only one who was doing it. It was brilliant. It's a great game.
Was there anyone that didn't want to go in the shower?
Of course not. What are you talking about? We're having a laugh in there. We're not in prison. Fucking not want to go in the shower for.
Why are you laughing?
Because I remember Gazza used to always have a tick.
Yeah. What were his ticks?
Everything. All of a sudden, he would just come to the England. He'd come to the England squad, and he'd have a different ailment. So first, one of them, he'd have something where his arm. He'd get his arm up like that and go like that with his head. He had done that every like 15, 20 seconds or something. He just got like that. And then he came and he's talking to himself, right? So I remember me and Incy used to be in a room and Gaz would come into our room and he was doing this when he come to this particular squad, was talking to himself. And I'm talking about how I'm talking to you. He's talking to himself as if he's talking to someone like that. And I remember it was going on. It's going on and on, and Incy said, "Gazza, for fuck's sake, shut your fucking mouth! He's talking to yourself like that. Fucking drive me mad." And Gazza said, "I don't know, I'm fucking doing it. I don't realise I'm fucking doing it. What are you talking about? I don't even realise I'm doing it. I fucking can't help it." He fucking started to well up, and everything walked out of the room. And I said, "Fuck's sake, Incy, just fucking leave him. If that's what he's doing, it's not a problem." He said, "I can't hear the fucking television."
I can hear Paul Ince saying that as well. That's exactly...
Yeah, because he don't tolerate stuff like that. He's just fucking... He just switched like that.
What's Gazza saying to himself?
He's just talking. He's like talking about like, yeah, but I told him. I told him a minute. And he said, no, like a proper conversation.
Is Gazza Welsh?
No. He's a Geordie man. What sort of you?
What's that?
Geordie. That's awful. Is that awful, Geordie?
That's awful.
Believe me.
What?
No, it isn't.
What did you say?
Nothing.
What did you say?
I didn't say anything.
What did you say?
I didn't say anything. When are we starting? We can put that in as a Gazza story.
Yeah, it just came to me. Thanks for helping me edit.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, episode 5 of I Can Make You Love Me, all right? Mm. We started that on episode 1 of series 2. And the idea being that on episode 1, we bizarrely stumbled on the prospect of a burning building, me on one side, G-Force, G-Links, what do you call him?
Gary Lineker.
G-Dog, on the other. And the building's on fire, and you've got to save one of us, and you said that you would save Lineker. Mm. So the idea of this is for us to go over these questions that a psychologist wrote in 1997, a group of 36 questions. Mm. The idea being that you and I go through all 36, mm-hmm. and at the end of it, you love me so much, you would save me. All right?
Okay.
Now, before we do this week's questions, we've got a very special guest. He joins us now. He is the man that devised the 36 questions. I can say, hello, the research professor of the Department of Psychology at Stony Brook University in America, Arthur Aaron. Arthur, hello.
Hi.
Thank you so much for doing this. You're really kind.
Really appreciate it.
The reason that I wanted to get you on is because we're in series 2 of our podcast. You've probably listened to series 1 already. Called We're Not Playing Snooker. And at the end of it, myself and Wrighty, we go through some of the questions that you wrote from your questionnaire in 1997, which is designed to make people fall in love.
Well, it actually was designed to get people close, not necessarily to fall in love.
Right.
And indeed, we tend to use it primarily in a laboratory setting, mostly with same-sex people who are mostly heterosexual. And the goal is to get them to feel really close and connected, not to fall in love. Now, if you do something like this with someone who is appropriately desirable and of the appropriate gender for you, you might fall in love.
Wow.
Okay.
That wasn't the goal.
How did you come up with the actual questions? What made you go with those particular questions?
Well, we were looking for a way in a short period of time in a laboratory setting to create closeness. We study the effects of closeness on your behavior, the effects on your body, on your brain. We do a lot of brain scan studies. And the problem is if you just bring in two friends versus two strangers, they have different histories, mm. they've chosen each other. So we wanted to be able to randomly assign people in a laboratory to get close or not, or we also have a control condition, which they just do small talk for mm-hmm. 45. So what we did is we looked at, well, how do people naturally become close? And looking at the literature from surveys and so forth, a typical way is they exchange personal information. But not too much, not too fast.
How long should the whole thing take from question 1 to question 36?
Well, it, you know, you could take as long as you want if you're doing it in the real world. But what we do in the laboratory is we divide them into 3 sets. And we give people 15 minutes. Take your time. Go as take as long as you want. Both of you answer each question.
And do you have to answer every... Professor, do you have to answer every single question as honestly as you can? You can't duck a question.
No.
Okay.
You can. What you do is you start with the first set, and after 15 minutes, you stop where you are, finish with the question you're on, then go to the second set.
All right. Okay. And what results have you had? Have you had any people that never met before and since they asked the questions have married?
Well, again, most of the people we do this with are same-sex heterosexual people, so they're not getting married or falling in love, but some of them develop friendships. When we were pilot testing this in our laboratory, we tried a more intense version of this with some of our research assistants. They were working on a different project. They weren't familiar with this. And the first one we tried it with actually did fall in love and did get married.
Wow.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Professor, thank you so much for your time.
Really appreciate it, Professor.
It's a real
pleasure.
A real honor having you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Okay, so long.
Bye-bye.
That's brilliant.
There you go, the actual professor.
That was really, ain't that cool that we've got him up?
That's nice, isn't it?
That's really cool.
And you know what's interesting is I thought we had to go through every single question and we don't, which is nice.
So you can just pick up, so we can actually...
I'm doing exactly what I should be doing.
We could have gone to the meatier ones sooner.
Because, well,
and the professor did say, you can't duck a question.
Well, you can't...
I thought that was pretty... That says a lot more now.
So, should we start with today's questions?
Yes.
Question number one. What is your most treasured memory? Oh.
Nothing to do with kids and things.
Okay.
So we're not doing kids, because that's a given, isn't it?
Well, what's your most treasured?
My most treasured memory probably would be...
We're meant to talk about this with each other, so we fall in love with each other. So I can go,
What's your most treasured? What's your most treasured memory?
I think the first time I got my hair cut.
Oh, please.
I mean, the obvious one is when your kids are born. And then you got to work out which one. And the most obvious answer is the first one. Because it's your first one, isn't it? You don't talk about the second time you had sex, do you?
No.
You talk about the first time you had sex. So out of the most memorable moment is the first time you brought a child into the world.
I think because I admired my brother, Morris, so much, I think that when I got called into the team for Gordon Brock, when I was... 8 and he was 10. I think I just turned 8 when I just started playing football. So I was playing in the same team as him. I was playing for the 4th years when I was in the 2nd year. And I remember walking out and I remember walking out with him next to me and he's saying, just make sure you play good today. I remember that as if it was yesterday. I was just happy to be playing on the same pitch as my brother.
That's nice.
Yeah.
You know, I think a problem a
it was
lot...
It was against a school called Fairlawn, and my brother scored in it as well, and I scored.
You remember the goals?
No, but it's the goal. My brother scored a really good goal. It's the one what he always said, no matter what goal I scored, he always said, nah, it weren't as good as my one against Fairlawn.
Describe it to me.
Because he was good on his left foot and his right foot, and he'd done one of those things where he went to go to the right, but he went, done that leg over, came onto his left foot and hit it with his left foot. Brilliant strike it was. And... he always used to say, weren't as good as mine against Fairlawn. And
that's a great.
Yeah, I know. He's such a wanker he was. And then, I scored a goal in it as well. It was unbelievable. It was brilliant. It was just the greatest day ever.
That's a great memory.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I think the problem a lot of kids, our kids will have, is they'll mix their memories up with recordings on iPhone cameras of what actually happened to them. Because you video everything now, don't you?
Yeah. So that was 48 years ago, that was.
Yours was?
Yeah.
Wow. What's your earliest memory?
I can't remember my earliest memory.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I remember.
Remember the first one? That's
yeah, but
it.
I was 8. I was 8. I can remember 8. I can't remember when I was 6 or 5.
So that's it? So that's it then?
That would be my earliest memory. Oh. No, it's not my earliest memory.
What's your earliest memory?
Because I remember my earliest memory. I remember, I could just remember hearing the radio and... that Tina Turner record, when I was a young boy, when I was a young girl, I remember a puppy. I remember that playing in the background. That is my earliest memory.
How old would you have been?
I don't know. Fuck's sake.
It's such a mood now.
You're asking me my earliest memory. I'm supposed to fucking remember how old I was. It's my earliest memory. I can't even remember how old I was.
Well, what I'm saying is, how do you know that one
when
you were 9?
Find out what year Tina Turner brought out when that song about when I was a young girl.
What's it called?
I don't know. River Deep, Mountain High.
So you do know? Tina Turner, River Deep, yeah?
Yeah, Mountain High.
River Deep. Right.
19 what?
88.
River Deep, Mountain High?
Yeah.
How can that be? Tina Turner didn't see...
Released. Tina Turner, 1988.
Yeah, but look at that. This says, River Deep, Mountain High, 1996.
Yeah, that's re-released.
I can Tina Turner.
Oh, he didn't say that.
She weren't with Ike Turner in 1988.
Ike.
There's no way that record wasn't the 60s.
All right, here we go. What year were you born?
63.
66.
That's when it was. So my earliest memory was when I was three. Fucking hell. It's 1966, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Where did you get 1988 from?
Where's all this fucking anger coming from?
Christ. You're asking me for my earliest memory. 1988, I would have been fucking what? What was I? So I was at 7, 10. I was like 22 or I was 23. I was something like, I was like 26, for fuck's sake. I was still playing for Palace.
You should have had more of a memory than that.
Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's unbelievable. Why haven't I done that before? Because that song, for some reason, I don't like it. And I think that it's got something to do with there was a lot of shit going on around me, why that record stays in my head. And it's really weird because I think that it was like my stepdad. He was like really a bullish, horrible man around the place and, you know what I mean? He's really shouting at my mum and all sorts of stuff. I remember it wasn't good because I don't like that record, because any time that I hear that record, it makes me feel all really weird. I don't like it. And then then what happens with Tina Turner, you know what I mean? She was abused and everything, wasn't she? She was a battered wife and everything like that. And you know what I mean? I know that there's things like that going on in the ether. But like, I was three. Could have been older because obviously it came out in 63. I was born in 63, sorry. And it came out in 66. I could have been airing it at 68, 69. So I could have been older.
But it could have been when you were three.
Could have been.
That's nice.
But I doubt it.
Positive writing again over there. Mm. Number two of today. Share with your partner. That's me. I'm your partner. An embarrassing moment in your life.
Let me see. That embarrassing moment. I think that I remember going to a function for Arsenal and everyone was there. The great and good of Arsenal. You know what I mean? And I remember Dennis Wise was there as well. Paul Ince was there. I don't know what they were doing there on that particular night. But it was an Arsenal do. And the comedian asked me to come up to do something. And I fucking didn't know what to do. And I went up there and made this really stupid, ridiculous joke and about like David Seaman and a fish or something. I can't remember what it was. But it was like, you know, like fucking if the floor could have opened up. I thought off, and people saying, "Go on, right, go, Daisy, go right." And I went up, and it was so embarrassed. I think of it now, I'm fucking embarrassed again.
Oh, I wish you could remember that gag.
It was so shit, but it was like the room went deafly.
But why did you come up with a gag? Had you rehearsed it?
I don't know.
Before?
Everyone was saying, "Oh, I didn't have a gag. I didn't have anything." That was easily the most embarrassing moment of my life. And pulling up my shirt when I broke the record. Now, that could have been the most embarrassing moment in my life. So I think that me going up at that function is the most embarrassing.
Why did you pull your shirt up? You got
because I was overexcited thinking that I broke
what
the record.
What game was that in?
That was the one where I was meant to break the record.
So
I actually equaled it. I equaled the record.
And didn't break it in that game?
Didn't break it. So me saying, just done it.
Oh, my God.
So if I didn't break the record in that game, that would have been the most embarrassing moment in my whole life.
Right. And you must have got slaughtered by your mates for that.
No, I didn't know because I scored a hat trick and that's just like pushed to the side now. Oh, okay. So people can say, yeah, I was there, you pulled your shirt up too early. And then I just say, yeah, but I ended up scoring a hat trick and my 100th goal in the Premier League. See you later.
Okay, last question of the day. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
When did you last sing to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Then it says, to someone else?
Mm-hmm.
When did you last sing to yourself?
I
mean, you've been doing it throughout all these podcasts, haven't you?
I said, well, sing to Lance?
Yeah. What? Sing to me, right?
No. You know, see, this is what I'm saying. This is why it won't work, because I don't love you. And I love Lance. And
hold on. Is that a fire alarm?
Probably.
Should we just carry on?
Yeah, because normally it's like a false alarm, isn't it?
It's just it might be annoying for the listener.
Yeah, but...
Open that door, see if it's coming out.
Yeah, go on then. I'm not getting up.
We'll do scissors, paper, stones for it.
No, I'm just not doing it. This is the kind of thing my brother does. You do things like that and you say, I'll just stay in and leave it. I ain't bothered.
Yeah,
it's gone.
All right.
I don't know the last time I sang to someone, but like, I remember singing that to Nance, my Wait for Love song by Luther Vandross.
Oh, yeah, go on. How's it going?
I'm not singing it. I'm talking it.
Go on.
No, in love the way I do.
No, in love the way I do.
I can tell for certain that it's true.
There's a chance for me and you. Go on.
Because I surely feel that the time is right. near. You know, my brother.
Oh, I've got it wrong.
My brother used to do that. Sing the song wrong on purpose because he knew how much it wound me up.
You know what my kids do, right? What? My youngest will sing a song. Just say she's singing. I don't know. Just say she's singing Happy Birthday, right? She'll be playing with her friends. She'll be playing with her toys. Mm-hmm. And she'll just be in the corner and go, Happy Birthday. And then my eldest will go, Happy Birthday. And she'll go, No! I'm singing that one. And then she'll go, Happy Birthday. And then the old one will go, Happy Birthday. No! Mom! Tell her I'm singing Happy Birthday.
I know. They do that. Lola started doing that now as a Roxanne. She starts to know what winds her up and what gets her going. I was singing that song first.
Yeah, you can both sing it. No, I don't want to. She's only singing it because I sung it.
Sung it first. I love
it. She sung yesterday.
I love it. I love that stuff.
Come on, let's take people out of this podcast with that little bit of Luther.
Knowing love the way I do.
Knowing love the way I do. Do.
I can tell for certain that it's true.
Oh, yeah.
There's a chance for me and you.
Oh, baby,
because I surely feel that the time is near.
Near.
The picture in my mind is very clear. I think love has brought us here.
Now it's higher.
Yeah. I remember not so long ago. You're really spoiling it for people.
I can't sing. That's why I want to sing.
I remember not so long ago. That's how it goes.
That's why I wish I was like Ed Sheeran, the ginger one.
I was just a lonely person with a lonely heart.
My bit.
Yeah.
I can't even do the yeah, fucking hell.
Yeah, it's got to be yeah.
Oh, that's lovely.
And I remember there could one
keep going,
day
keep going.
Be...
That's the end of the podcast. You're just gonna... No, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be nice.
Be a chance.
Keep going. That's the end of the podcast. Me and Rice will be back. The last episode of Win Play Snooker, which hopefully will have
Sometimes
Gary Lineker live on the show.
It takes
the
wrong time. Oh God! You know something, you kill me, man. You really do.
How do I even know that song? Because you can sing. You got a good voice.
No,
I can't do that.
Did it sound alright
on here? When you got headphones on, say, put them on and do the yeah, and you'll hear it. It sounds awesome.
Seriously. And I was hoping there could one day be. Sounds different.
Be a chance.
Whoa. For me to
get the love
that I've been missing.
Sometimes love.
Your voice. I love it. I love you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.